Roadmen, it's stage 19 of the Giro d'Italia. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back to stage 19 of the Giro d'Italia. We only have tomorrow and the next day's final time trial in Rome to go. And we are finito for this year's Giro d'Italia. So I've almost made it, folks. I've almost made it through another Grand Tour. Always daunting at the start, but always rewarding in hindsight. I can think of many experiences that are quite like that. Bike racing springs to mind. It's not fun at the time, but you look back on it with fond memories. Roadman, today we've seen some maybe foreshadowings of the battle ahead tomorrow. And that's what I want to get into. But before I do, a reminder as always about Patreon. The link is in the bio down below. I'm a full-time podcaster these days. Roadman is the main source. The Roadman podcast is the main source of my income. It's the main source of my time going into it. So please do think about paying me for my work. It's over on patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Price of a pint of beer once a month. Keeps the show on the road, folks. What did I notice before today's stage? Well, today was 166K, and we finished, as I mentioned yesterday, up pretty rough climb, Alpe de Maria. Before the show kicked off today, I had noticed Sagan, who we talked about yesterday, and we gave you the number one rule of the jungle: when the lion is hungry, the lion eats. And the lion was certainly peacocking around today on his new Tarmac SL7 Chiclamino jersey in the bag. So it's a custom Chiclamino paint job for Peter Sagan. It's pretty outrageously balling, I have to say. Not many riders except Sagan could pull that off. The stage today... Look, Ineos are going back to the team bus and they have to be happy. Bernal has put time into his closest rivals. On paper, they are definitely happy. But we've talked about this a lot of times on the podcast. Mr. Momentum has shifted. He's moved the dress and Mr. Momentum is with Yates at the moment. So look, we'll break down the key parts of the stage. Just the GC battle is what I'm most concerned about on the podcast. I haven't fussed too long or too often about the break, and the break didn't make it to the finish today. And in part due to James Knox, who set a crazy pace on the front for a quick step, and Yeo Almeida. Almeida sprung off that. That attack was the springboard for Yates to go. Vlasov followed, Caruso attacked, and Bernal didn't follow. And at this point, with around 6 kilometers to go, when Yates went again and he gapped everyone. So Yates is solo, Vlasov's behind with Caruso, and there's a couple of other, you know, Bennett and a couple of other lads in there. I'm looking at Bernal and I'm thinking there's one of two things going on here. Either he has no legs and he's going to crack, or he is exceedingly confident today. And it turned out it was the latter. Maybe exceedingly confident, stating it strongly. Maybe there's a little bit of energy management in this. But Bernal looked at this climb, and Ineos have done this for years. If you think back to Wiggins, you know, not an out-and-out climber per se, but what they figured out with, you know, Dave Brailsford and Tim Kershaw and the performance directors there, these climbs, they're about riding from point A to point B as fast as you can, covering that distance as fast as you can. Now, that sounds obvious, but that's not how climbs have been ridden all through the years. We had the great romance of these climbs with the Pantanis and Nibali carrying that tradition through of slowing down and big attacks. And Wiggins said, nah, fuck all that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ride this climb like it's a time trial. I'm going to look at my power meter. I know what I can put out from the bottom all the way to the top. That will get me to the top in the lowest possible time. That's how I'm going to ride it. And that's what we've seen, a reversion to mean from Ineos today. We've seen them going back to that tradition of just riding the climb as hard as they could, getting Bernal from point A, the bottom of the climb, to point B, the top of the climb, in as fast a time as possible. And how did they do that? They used two of their key lieutenants, and like Bernal owes these lads some amount of beer, Castrovecchio and Martinez, because they were unreal. They rode, they knew what power they could hold, they knew what power Bernal could hold. They didn't respond to those big surges, and they slowly reeled in the competition. And Castrovecchio, who can just ride kilometre after kilometre at that eye-watering pace, done his job. Martinez came through, who was the saviour slash motivator the other day. And you've seen some great memes with Martinez, that moment where he turns around to G up Egan Bernal. There's great memes floating around about that, and I'm sure they will for a long time to come. He rode another absolutely unrelenting pace, and he brought back everybody except Yates. So my initial concern when Yates attacked with 6k to go was Bernal could be losing the Giro right now. But Martinez and Castrovecchio, they just rode everybody off their wheel. Carty, for me, looked isolated. Betiol, you'd have to question Betiol. Yeah, they won the stage yesterday with Betiol, but he's been his key lieutenant in the mountains. It just depends how they're prioritising stuff. They obviously prioritised that stage win yesterday over helping Carty today. Now, that works well in hindsight, but if Betiol gets fourth yesterday and he's not there to help Carty today, you know, you have to question the wisdom of it. But, you know, Carty is, what, he's back on GC. What is he? Carty's fifth on GC at 7 minutes 10. You know, could he maybe have pushed for a podium? Look, no, probably not. So maybe he could get up to sixth. Obviously, the stage win was more important for him than that. Carty has faded in the sort of last week of the Giro where we had seen him going on the attack. Martinez finally pulled over with about 2k to go, and we got to see what Bernal had left. And he had a bit left. He initially rode away from Caruso and Yeo Almeida, and then Almeida got back up to him, and the two of them sort of rode a little bit of a two up. And Bernal was cool and he was calm today. I don't think he had the best legs in the world. He used up his teammates. He knew they wouldn't change up pace. And then when the time was right, at about 2k to go, he took it up. Yeah, sure, he suffered a little bit in the last kilometre and Yeo Almeida dropped him. But look, in the end, if we look at the results, he's taken time out of his key rival. He's taken time out of Caruso, who was second on GC, and has extended his lead. He's given away a little bit of time to Simon Yates, but he had a little bit of time to give away. So all in all, Ineos, they have to be happy with today, and with only one more day to get through in the Giro, and Castrovecchio looking super strong, Martinez looking super strong. We're riding through Filippo Ganna's hometown tomorrow, so that's going to be extra motivation for him to put on a show. I don't see Bernal losing the jersey. Simon Yates can't TT for butter either. So, you know, if it was super close between Caruso and Bernal, you might be kind of thinking, yeah, Caruso can TT, this could be a bit of trouble. But I don't see Bernal losing much time to Caruso tomorrow. I do see him losing some more time to Yates, but not enough time that he's going to lose the Giro. Bernal's one day left to win this Giro d'Italia. One day. Come on, Egan. Suck it up for one more day and bring it home for Colombia. So today's stage, Simon Yates took a great win. The stage win almost seemed secondary today because he was going after that GC time. But he won today in 4 hours, 2 minutes and 55 seconds. 11 seconds later, we've seen Yeo Almeida, who's been super for the last 2 weeks of the Giro. God knows what happened on that first day when he lost 4 minutes on the first uphill finish. Egan Bernal was third at 28 seconds, bagged himself a few bonus seconds as well. Caruso was fourth, Vlasov was fifth. So we're really seeing the cream rising to the top on these difficult mountain stages. That leaves GC Bernal, 81 hours, 2 minutes, 29 seconds buffer over Damiano Caruso from Bahrain Victorious. 2:49 rounding out the podium is Simon Yates. And we have Vlasov and Hugh Carty making up the top five. Tomorrow, arguably, we're going to have to call it the Queen Stage because the fucking coverage was so bad for the actual Queen Stage. I'm hoping we get a bit of footage tomorrow. It's like listening to a radio broadcast. Static images on the finish line last day. It was shocking. Like, where was the plan B with that last time? Like, RCI, the company that are delivering the footage for this year at Italia, every time they fuck up the coverage, so much so that last year the UCI elected not to use them even though they were the host broadcaster for the World Championships. But Eurosport consistently hide behind the fact that, oh, we're getting let down by the host broadcaster. You're not getting let down if it happens consistently. Like, you're in an abusive relationship, Eurosport. You need a plan B here. It's not good enough to have paying customers and your commentator just going, oh, we're being let down by the host broadcaster. Eurosport need to own that. They need to have a plan B. Like, there was no Wi-Fi coverage on the side of the mountain for the Queen's Stage. there was fucking lads streaming on Instagram and Twitter live, and I was watching it there, and Eurosport couldn't get the coverage. It was scandalous. And tomorrow, another stage that all the fans are looking for. Sponsors paying huge money. Maximum amount of viewers are going to tune into these mountain stages. If they struggle to bring the coverage again tomorrow, I'm literally cancelling my Eurosport subscription because it's pathetic. So that rant aside, stage 20 tomorrow, we're finishing up Alt Motta. We 4,200 metres vertical tomorrow. That's all packed into the second half of the stage on a 165k stage. It's the first time we've ever finished up Alt Motta. And as I said, we're riding through Filippo Ganna's hometown tomorrow. So let's see, can Ineos seal the Giro d'Italia? I love Egan Bernal. I'm an unashamed fan of Egan Bernal. So let's see. Let's hope Egan Bernal can bring it home tomorrow. One day to go. Chat to you tomorrow, roadmen. Hey everybody, it's Anthony again. Really quick, I want to invite you to join arguably the best thing I've ever put out inside the Roadman community. It's a challenge. It's a challenge called the 14-day Kickstart Challenge. So regardless of where your fitness is at right now, this is going to be the catalyst for making you faster and making you leaner. I've created this challenge to take the guesswork out of everything. It's 14 days of training plans, regardless of what your level is. There's masters, beginner, advanced. There's meal plans, shopping list, and even a video course holding your hand and talking you through it all. So what I recommend you do right now is just stop everything, press pause on this audio, and go to roadmancycling.com/14-day, or check out the link in the bio. That's roadmancycling.com/14-day.